But I love that movie.
Oh, I love it too, very, very much. My literally only critique is
too much saliva.
Too much saliva.
Entirely too much saliva.
Entirely too much saliva for my taste.
He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Beautiful. Nice work.
Thanks.
That's excellent. Welcome back, everybody. It's the holiday season now. Can you tell?
It's the holiday season.
That's actually, this whole episode is just going to be us singing parts of songs.
Yeah.
What snaps?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy?
I was like, something about snaps feels wrong with that song.
Woohoo, yeah.
Mary. Anyways, welcome to that pretentious book club.
Yes, welcome back.
That over there is Dr. Spoons Palermo, a.k.a. Kendall Shaw.
Hello. And my esteemed colleague is Ash O'Rourke, but you can call her Wheezy.
It ain't easy being Wheezy.
Shit, I forgot my thing again.
I'm so surprised that I did that without, like, laughing through it, because I felt the laugh in my throat, and I was like, push it down.
Easy being Wheezy.
Which is what happened the first time I tried to actually do it.
It's true.
That's okay. We'll have another chance. Listen, guys, if we sound like we've never podcasted before, it's
we have not. This is, you've been in the Matrix.
Yeah, actually, that's a better explanation. I've been gone, so we recorded a bunch in advance. So I haven't even seen Kendall's beautiful face in like weeks, like 3 weeks. Is that how long it's been?
It's been a long time.
Oh my God, it's been most of November. This will come out in December, but...
Yeah.
No, will it? No, it won't. It'll still be November, technically. But it's... Okay, no one can criticize me. It is the Christmas season. Thanksgiving is over.
Yeah, now it's officially Christmas. There's less than a month. So
yeah, exactly. I'm drinking out of a nice, naughty, I tried wine mug, and I'm drinking cranberry orange tea that I made myself with whiskey in it.
And I was wondering what it was. Yeah. It looks really cute.
It's delicious. I can make you one if you want.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Okay, I can make you one.
Ding. Ding. I am drinking this beer that I left here 2 months ago.
Yeah.
It's called Mega Flora. Why did we never notice?
I have no idea. Mega Flora.
Mega Flora. That's her smash, like, power up.
Is that your power up name, Flora?
That's not what it's called. I'm going to get canceled by all the smash
That's
stands.
What we're going to get. That's what we're going to get canceled for, yeah.
I went to a Friendsgiving, and there was smash there. And, you know, I smash occasionally. The video game. But I'm not, like, how you'd say, good. But I sometimes...
How would you say, good?
But sometimes there'll be a group of people, and... everyone's really bad, so I feel like it looks like I'm okay.
Yeah.
But in this, so I thought maybe that was going to be the case, but actually I was just bad in this group, and I was like, dang it. How come you guys couldn't be worse?
That is so funny.
Yeah.
I refuse to play games. I know games. I'll be bad. Any games. It's not just because I know I'll be bad, it's because I don't want to learn the rules because I know I'm going to be bad anyways. Like, that's a lot of effort to put in knowing that I won't win.
Well, yeah, not with that attitude.
I also don't care to win.
Yeah.
And sometimes, especially when boys play the games, they all start yelling at each other. And I'm just like, what part of this is fun? I don't understand.
You just need to come over to my house and we'll, like, calmly play Animal Crossing. And it'll be very nice. And there's no, like, it's not a game you win.
Animal Crossing is the one with the music and the tiny voices. Right?
I've never heard it described that way, but I guess. It's like there's little animals and you're on an island and you walk around and, like, collect bugs and stuff.
I've played it on other people's accounts and I found it
boring.
Purposeless. Entirely purposeless.
Okay, well, then we need to find something in the middle. Or, I mean, we don't have to. But now I'm thinking about it, if there is a game that you would like.
Darts sounds quite nice.
What are you, a gentleman from 1920?
Maybe. Maybe secretly in disguise. That could explain a lot.
How about a rousing game of darts, my boy?
Anyone, a rousing game of darts? Except that I'd be like, can we just not keep track? Because I don't want to count. Like, it just, it's not that I'm afraid of losing. I fully expect to lose and have accepted that. And also, it's a game, so it just truly does not matter who wins or loses. Because there's no purpose. That's the whole thing, is to me, it is so purposeless. I'm like, why are we bothering counting? Why am I bothering learning rules?
This is so funny. Earlier, Ash was saying, I just don't like to watch movies by myself because I'm like, why would I sit for 2 hours? I need to be doing something. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so opposite of me. I'm like, if I will find any chance I can get to do something that has no purpose.
But it's weird because it doesn't apply to all like media. Like I watched like 4 hours of Fruits Basket yesterday. It is currently on my TV.
Currently
again.
On the TV, everybody. We should play a new segment. It's like, what's on Ash's TV?
I never turn it off because I feel lonely.
I'm right here.
Well, I know, but you're gonna leave, and if it's off and then you leave, I'm like, now I'm alone.
Your husband is in the other room.
He's playing video games.
Those darn video games again.
He's no good to me when he's playing video games. It's just nice. My world feels a little bit more full.
No, I understand. I understand.
It also feels like rebellion to me a little bit. Because growing up, we were like really not allowed to watch hardly anything on TV ever. We weren't allowed to have like much screen time at all. And what we were allowed to watch was very specifically chosen. And so the fact that I can just not only watch whatever I want, I can leave the TV on all damn day if I want to. You know what?
Suck it.
Exactly. So I'm also like, aha, independence. To me,
yes.
To me, independence is having the TV on all day.
I understand
for no
that.
Reason.
Yeah.
So do I pay a hefty electricity bill? So what?
A small price to pay for small a peace price of mind.
Exactly. For freedom and independence. Yes. Thank you very much. And for not feeling lonely when your friends leave. Oh man.
Well, maybe that's why I watch movies by myself.
Because you feel
because I don't want to be lonely.
Yeah. That it really is what having the TV. Like that's why I turn on the TV. Like if I have a nightmare and Hobby's not here, which is, you know, often, I'll literally just turn it on to like Gilmore Girls and I'll go back to sleep because I know it so well it won't keep me awake.
And you're like, oh, don't worry, Rory and Lorelai will watch over me.
Exactly. You're like,
I would trust
alone.
Them to watch over me. For
I
sure.
would totally trust them to watch. Well, mostly Lorelai. Rory most of the time, except for when she goes through her college phase.
I still think college phase Rory would comfort you if you had a
I
nightmare.
Think college phase Rory pre and post dropout. What I think she would comfort me, but she had so much of her own stuff going on.
She's the one having nightmares.
Yeah.
This has been a Gilmore Girls segment brought to you by the ultimate stan and somebody who pretends to know about it. Thank you.
Usually it's the reverse because you're the ultimate stan for something, and I'm like, yeah, I've heard of that.
You're like, oh yes, the economy. You're like, I've heard of Mr. Reeves, I believe.
I've heard of stocks.
Stocks?
Oh, God. It's been too long since I've laughed with you because it has been weeks.
My dear friend, I must agree.
We're going to go on a date just to go find skirts.
We are. We're going to go on a skirt shopping date.
I'm so excited about this. Because I was like, I have but one winter skirt. And by winter skirt, I mean something that goes past my knees.
Winter skirt is a funny phrase. It makes us sound like we are in Little Women. And like, the winter's coming.
I need a winter skirt. It's true.
Amy, you didn't spill it all over your winter skirt.
Oh, Joe, you didn't burn the back of your winter skirt.
It's
yes,
okay,
I
true,
did.
She didn't. We will get to that.
We will. It's exciting.
This is so exciting.
I know. Our episode today is on Little Women, you guys.
Little Women.
And I'm going to dedicate it to my Mimi, if that's okay.
Oh,
because this
I would
was
love
her
that.
Favorite book. My Mimi is my mother's mother, and she was an angel of a person who left us all too soon. And this was her favorite book in the world. And I got to read her copy. It's a beautiful copy. I'll have to post a picture of it. That my mom actually gave to her in 1994 for Christmas.
I love that.
So it's so sweet. It's before my brother was born. It's just like so wild to think like this book has been around since then and was well loved before it somehow came into my possession.
Yeah.
My mom and I did both burst into tears when I read her dedication, which I'll read later.
It's very lovely.
It's very lovely. So that's the book that we're doing today. Because Thanksgiving just happened, and yes, now it's Christmas time.
It's time for family.
You guys,
it's,
we're trying to do Christmas-themed episodes also. So, like, we're having holiday episodes.
Oh, yeah. And Little Women, as we just discussed off pod, is definitely a Christmas book/movie.
You guys, we have such good discussions off pod. I wish you guys could just be here in person. We'd have such a good time.
Yeah.
It's true. I know.
All our friends.
I know. Yeah. All of our pod friends.
They're like, psh, no, I'm not your friend.
They're like, who said? Just gotta fill my hour somehow.
Yeah, they're like whatever.
I just don't want to feel alone.
This is my oh, true. Yeah.
They're like, we're not actually listening. We just need your voices.
Yeah. Like, what did they say? I don't know, something stupid.
Pay attention. I'm just kidding.
Pay attention.
But how funny would it be if someone was just driving, like, not actually listening to us, and I say pay attention, and they're like, what?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say, I love you. Well, how's your life been? Give me and the pod an update since it's been like 3 weeks.
My life has been interesting. I have been personally having a rough go of it in my brain space, but some good things have been happening to me. So it's like evening out to a good neutral, you know?
Yeah.
Like, or good. Maybe a little positive even.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That's very good.
I got an internship at a very cool place downtown.
I'm so excited for her.
It's like, it's the I don't know, it's basically a history center, so I'm super excited, and it's very much in my field that I'm going into, and it's very cool. And it was a thing where I like interviewed over a month ago. They ghosted me.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, they hate me. Whatever. I was moving on.
And I was like, those dumbasses. How dare they?
And then
you're perfect.
Me crying all the time. And then on Monday, I got an email from them. And they're like, we're so sorry for the delay. If you're still interested, we'd love to offer you the position.
And I was like, those geniuses. They do recognize
I never
excellence
them.
When they see it. I never doubted them.
So it's really cool. So yeah, anyway, that's what's going on with me.
It's exciting.
And Ash had a good time too.
Yeah. So I went to Virginia for my anniversary / very belated honeymoon, obviously. And it was spectacular. Have you guys been to Virginia? Because you guys should if you haven't. It was awesome. We just went and did, like, I also did not know my history was such a nerd. My husband was such a history nerd. So he was like, we pretty much, like, we got there. Our flight was delayed. We had just enough time to pick up our rental car, get to the hotel, and then we went to a late night ghost tour that lasted till like 1 a.m.
Oh my God.
In Colonial Williamsburg.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. I was 100% sure I wasn't going to see anything spooky because 99% of like the ghost videos Javi shows me, I'm like, fake. I am that person, which I know is annoying. but there was some totally... There was some stuff that's just really hard to explain.
What? You
and
actually
then,
saw ghost activity on this tour?
I actually think we might have. There's three events, and they all happened in the same spot and at different times. But it was the same part of Colonial Williamsburg. And the last one I can't explain at all.
Oh my God.
So that's the only
How
reason
could
I can
you
give
not
you credence.
Have told me about this?
I was waiting to tell you on the pod.
I'm freaking out.
Okay. I also talked about this on the Scriptorian Society. So if you have listened to that, this will not be news to you, but I'm going to tell it again anyways. Okay. So... So there's this place in Colonial Williamsburg that's called like the Market Square. Mm-hmm. It used to be a Revolutionary War hospital, and that's where there was this surgeon who they called Dr. Devil, because basically he was doing amputations like left and right for no reason at all. And of course, back then people were dying because no sanitation. So a lot of people have since then said that they can see the ghosts of like soldiers walking around like missing limbs. Mm-hmm. Apparently he disappeared afterwards because he knew he was going to be arrested, and so they never caught him. Anyways, so later what was a hospital was converted to the Market Square, where they still have market like days apparently. We on the tour, like basically we would walk around, we were walking around with this group of people. We get to like, we're all like walking on like the big road and it's closed off to traffic. We stood outside the Market Square while the tour guide like gave us that whole spiel and everything. And as we were like watching, like looking at, I totally saw a shadow like move across, like it was walking through the inside of the Market Square, and it didn't ever walk out the other end. But I was just like, like, it looked way more substantial than a shadow, like a dark figure.
What?
But I was like, it's probably just, like, a, like, I don't know, like a tourist shadow or something. That's just maybe, like, the lights just, you know, like, hitting us weird and somebody's, you know, walking by. So I was like, can't really count. That's the thing. If I can explain it away, I will not count it. I just can't do it. But it was weird. And then Javi got a picture when we were like, but within the thing is, at this point, we were all up there walking around and Javi got a picture and there's totally somebody standing there. I just don't know if it was a tourist or a ghost, and neither does Javi, because it's too blurry to tell because it was nighttime. Uh-huh. But it is weird because I was like, it is weird, like where it was standing and everything. But anyways, once again, I could explain that away and be like, we got another tourist in our picture. We just didn't notice. So I was like, so maybe, maybe not. And then there was only one other like spooky thing on the ghost tour, but it was like, it felt like demon spooky. So I was like, I will not get anywhere near the house. I'm waiting out here on the road.
Oh no.
I refused. I was like, I want no part of this. So it was, that part was spooky, but other than that, it was just like really interesting stuff. And then we get to explore the rest of Virginia, our like next couple days there, which was amazing. We went to Yorktown. We went to Jamestown. We got to see the first settlement. We got to go to the Revolutionary War Museum. It was so cool. You would have loved it, Miss History.
This is exactly what I want
to do. It was so fun. I want to go back. Like, if ever I go on another trip, I'm like, what if we just always go back to Virginia? We just always go back to the same spot. And the fall trees, it looked straight out of a Hallmark movie. I was like, it does exist.
This is real?
The perfect fall does exist. It's in Virginia. God. It was beautiful. Everything did close down at like 6 p.m.
Huh.
Because it was just like a little like historical tourist town.
Yeah.
But I was like, this suits me perfectly. No problem.
Like, this is fine.
I'll just go back and want fruits basket in the room. It's fine. I was actually watching How I Met Your Mother at the time. But but it was just really nice. And so it was like really low key. But then the last day we were there, we wanted to go see Colonial Williamsburg during the day and we got to see a blacksmith in action. And now my husband is going to be a blacksmith. That is not a joke. He's researched it. He's looked at blacksmithing schools near us and he's going to become a blacksmith, which is awesome. I'm very proud of him. But he was just like struck by how cool it was. What a massive nerd he is. Anyways, so we got to see all the cool stuff. And then as we're like walking back, like we like went down one street and we're going to come back up the other ones. So we got to see everything. We were there all day. I had to pee for like the 10th time. And I needed to use the bathroom and there was one like right by the market square. Remember we saw like the ghosty stuff? I didn't think anything about it. I was just like, there's the bathroom. Well, the light didn't turn on. And I was like, this is so annoying. Again, not thinking anything about it because electricity. Also on the tour, there was a bunch of like buildings where they're like, oh, did you see that light go out in the window? It's a ghost. And I was like, it's electricity. Like, I was just like not impressed.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever. It could be a ghost or it could just be like a bad bulb. But like, to me, that stuff is just so explainable that I'm like, maybe or maybe not. Like, you can never prove it enough to be like, oh cool, for sure. So I was like, whatever. So I literally did not think twice about it when the lights in the women's bathroom wouldn't turn on, no matter how many times I pressed the button. So I was like, great, I had to turn on my phone light and like pee with my flashlight on in here. And then so here's when we get to the part that I truly can't explain at all. Like, it's weird that I'm in the bathroom for this. I realize I've led us up to this point in the story. So picture me.
Okay, picture Ash.
I'm in the bathroom stall. I've got the light on. I'm like, okay, peeing is so fun in the like near pitch black. And then I hear what sounds like just like 100 people screaming at like bloody murder, like terrified screaming. And it sounds like it's coming from the market square outside the bathrooms. And so my brain immediately being like, how can we explain this, was like, maybe it's like an 18-wheeler brakes screeching, like right outside. I was like, maybe there's just like a near collision. Like, maybe someone almost like hit the bathroom with their giant 18-wheeler. Because that's the only thing I could think of that would be like that loud and that close. And then I go outside and I look around and I'm like, wait, hang on. All these roads are closed off to traffic because it's a tourist area.
Yeah.
Cars and trucks can't come over here anyway. So I was like, okay, what the hell? And then I was like, hey, Javi, what was that sound? And he was like, what are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
And he wouldn't joke with me about it because he's all like, you know, like he's, you know, very serious about ghosts and stuff. So he wouldn't like, you know, just to like get at me, make anything up. And I was like, did you hear that like really loud noise? It sounded like, I don't know, like brakes screeching or something. And he was like, no. And he was waiting outside the bathroom for me. And apparently when he went into the men's bathroom, the lights were on. So good for him. But yeah, so that's the one thing I can't explain.
Oh my God.
And the fact that it happened next to the two things I could potentially explained but not for sure as he's explained, it was like all in the market square. I'm like,
that place is haunted.
I think it might be haunted.
Oh my God.
I never felt like scared, like I was being attacked, like the spooky like demon house where I was like, bad energy, I want no part of this.
Yeah,
it was just like, something has happened here.
Oh no.
Yeah, so anyways, it was weird.
Oh my God, you heard the poor sounds of Revolutionary War people
screaming,
I guess.
Pain. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Isn't that horrifying? But that's terrifying. My ghost story.
You were just like in the bathroom, a ghostly iPhone light. The only.
Wait. And then the sound of like 100 voices screaming. And I was like, gotta be brakes, like brake tires or something.
I would have run away. Literally been like, we're going.
I just calmly like washed my hands and walked out. And I was like, hey, Javi, what was that sound? The thing is, I strive to be calm in any situation where adrenaline might be involved. So then, of course, the situations where no one should be upset, I'm literally throwing myself on the ground.
You have the opposite reaction.
I do. I save it all up for those moments where nothing's really that important. But I act like it's the end of the world. So, anyways.
That's terrifying.
Basically, the trip was awesome.
So, yeah, in summary, 10 out of 10, really.
10 out of 10 would absolutely go again. I, like, genuinely, I'm like, I can't think of anywhere else being, like, more fun to go to on a vacation.
It was so glad fun. You had so much fun. I knew you were going to.
There are literally 1 million pancake houses out there. There's Capital Pancake, Colonial Pancake.
Oh.
There were, like, and I'm not kidding, like, 6 other pancake houses, and then another pancake house called, yes, this is another pancake house. And I was like, oh my God.
Okay, that's funny.
I know. But I was just like, okay, pancakes every day.
They love the pancakes up there.
Pretty foliage, colonial goats. I could do this. I could live here. Javi and I did look at, like, land out there and houses, uh-huh. And oh my God, you can get beautiful houses on 20 acres for, like, nothing.
What?
And then looking around out here, because if you live anywhere near the Austin area, you know. It's just insane how expensive it is. It's like LA.
It's like, so, yeah, it's crazy.
It's insane. Yeah. So I was just like, why do we live here?
Yeah. Wait a second. They have like seasons up there.
They have seasons and beautiful old houses in beautiful condition and like 20 acres that have like trees and stuff.
And colonial ghosts.
And colonial ghosts. I mean, hello. Is that not the biggest selling point? It was very cool.
Dang. Yeah. Well, I'm really happy for you.
Thank you.
Guys, go check out Ash's pictures. They're so cute.
I posted some pictures. I don't usually. Javi was really good about taking pictures. Once again, he's much better at taking pictures than I am. So he took a lot of good pictures. Those are mostly his pictures.
They're
but
very cute.
I knew they were just going to sit on his phone and he wasn't going to do anything with them or show them to anybody. So I wanted you all to experience what I experienced, minus the screaming ghosts in the bathroom.
Yeah, I don't want to experience that. But
it really wasn't scary. It was just weird.
Yeah. Well, in that moment, you're like not sure what it is even.
Yeah, so exactly. Like... I think that's probably where a lot of my lack of fear comes from, is I'm just like so confused that I'm like... Should I be afraid right now?
It's Flora.
It's totally Flora. Our club supreme leader is snuggled up behind me right now.
Hi, baby.
Did you miss Auntie Spoons?
Of course she did.
She's like, of course. Of course she did.
Well, do you want to talk about Little Women?
Yes, I do.
I do, too.
Again, I just realized, like, I totally screwed up my job in looking at the author. I was so into the book. I was just enjoying the book.
I mean, hasn't done that? Mostly me hasn't done that.
I've done it, like, once before, and then other times I've, like, scribbled stuff down, like, right before recording. I don't typically completely forget, but I did today.
I completely forgot when we did the last one we did with Carissa.
Darkest Minds.
Darkest Minds. Literally completely entirely forgot. I was like, oh yeah, that's my job. Whoops.
I know.
Until we were recording.
See, this is the first time I've done that, I think. Oh well. Okay, so Louisa May Alcott is the author of Little Women. She was born in 1832 in November in Germantown,
just like
Pennsylvania.
Joe.
Oh, was Joe born in November?
Yeah, Joe makes a comment about how Meg says something like, November is the most dreadful month. And Joe's like, that's why I was born in November.
That's hilarious. So Louisa May Alcott is a Sagittarius.
Woohoo!
Yeah, hooray! See. So she's an American author known for her children's books, especially Little Women, which is such an excellent book. She was the daughter of transcendentalist Bronson Alcott, spent most of her life in Boston and Concord, Massachusetts, where she grew up in the company of Ralph Waldo Emerson, Theodore Parker, and Henry David Thoreau. Oh my God. Of course, she was excellent. You can definitely tell in her writing that she grew up in that area, though, because it's all very, very regional. Let's see. Her education was largely under the direction of her father. For a time at his innovative Temple School in Boston and later at home. That sounds cultish, doesn't it? The temple school. Wow. Apparently, she realized early on that her father was too impractical to provide for his wife and four daughters. After the failure of Fruitlands, a utopian community that he founded, I was so right about the cultish vibes.
Oh my God.
And so she basically, she taught for a little while, worked domestically for a little while, finally began to write, all because she was concerned that her family wouldn't be able to make it because her father was too impractical to provide for
them.
That's
funny.
Oh, that's familiar. So apparently she was known for lurid and violent tales that she published under the name A.M. Bernard. So she's Jo. The latter works were unusual in their depictions of women as strong, self-reliant, and imaginative. She volunteered as a nurse after the American Civil War began, but she contracted typhoid due to unsanitary conditions.
Mm.
Dr. Devil? Just kidding. That was the Revolutionary War. Yeah. But anyways.
They were still doing the amputation stuff.
They still
were. All over the place.
And so we, when we went to Colonial Williamsburg, we went to Yorktown, and they had had, like, a reenactment of, like, an army encampment set up. And so they had, like, this, like, quote-unquote surgeon there doing talks, which is just, like, you know, the army doctor. And he was like, yeah, here in the Revolutionary, you know, like, Revolutionary period, like, we're pretty sparing about trying to do amputations. We sometimes accidentally sanitize stuff just because, like, of our practices was accidental. He's like, you know what, though? Civil War times, you sneezed, amputation. Scratchy throat, amputation.
It's true!
Yeah. So that's fun.
The Civil War sucks so bad. It's like,
yeah,
I can't even, it's like not even one of my, I don't know. I just don't even like to like read anything about it. It just sucks so bad.
Yeah, it's true. So she wrote a bunch of other stories that did relatively well. But apparently because her family's needs were pressing, she wrote Little Women, which is actually autobiographical in nature, not surprising. And that was in 1868 to 69. It was immediately a success. Not surprising. It's why it's still really well known. About the domestic adventures of a New England family of modest means but optimistic outlook. That's very concise, but
it is.
Well put summary. Absolutely. So the book traces the different personalities and lives of the four sisters, Meg, Jo, Beth, and Amy, which we'll talk about in the book a lot. You get to follow them from childhood into womanhood, and it's so much fun. Let's see. In 1869, she wrote in her journal, "Paid up all the debts, thank the Lord." Good for you.
Okay, go queen.
Louisa May.
We love a girl boss.
Yeah, she's just badass. There have been numerous movie adaptations, including the 1933 movie with Katharine Hepburn as Jo.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and of course, the 2019 adaptation.
And the 94 one.
Yeah, the 94 one, which is what I'm looking for. I don't know why it's not listed on here. Huh. Somebody was just like, nah, we don't need to know. Weird. It's not on there. But yeah, the one with Winona Ryder. And there's that gross kiss between her and what's-his-face. There's so much saliva.
Oh, Lord, with Christian?
Yeah, with Christian.
I forgot about that.
I remember because it was seared into my brain where I was like, why is there so much saliva?
Is that when he proposes to her?
Yeah. It is.
Ugh, Christian.
Also, later when spoilers, obviously, but when Beth dies, there's also a lot of saliva in that scene. And I was just like, yeah. So there's a lot of saliva.
But I love that movie.
Oh, I love it too, very, very much. My literally only critique is
too much saliva.
Too much saliva.
Entirely too much saliva.
Entirely too much saliva for my taste. Oh, God. Okay, so she went on a European tour in 1870 and a few briefer trips to New York. Before she spent the last two decades of her life in Boston and Concord caring for her mother, who died after a lengthy illness, and her increasingly helpless father. He sounded helpless from the start, but whatever. Let's see. Oh, later in life, she adopted her namesake, Louisa May. I can't pronounce her last name. The daughter of her late sister, May.
Aww.
See, her own health declined because, you know, she'd had typhoid earlier on, and she died in Boston 2 days after her father's death.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How old is she? Sorry.
I don't remember. Oh. And I just exited
okay,
out
great.
Of it.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Know. It's fine.
I want to say in her 40s, maybe. I could be wrong. I'll look it up again.
It's okay. It doesn't matter.
It matters to me now that you asked. See, she was born in 1832, died in 1888, so 56?
Yeah.
I think. So 56? I was very wrong. But yeah, so there's a little bit about Louisa May.
Louisa May.
I love this book.
I love this book so much. It's unreasonable.
It is. I was telling Spoons, I was on the way to a baby shower, and I was just had just read the dedication on the inside of this copy of the book, and I had already been thinking about the book and listening to some of it on audiobook, and I just straight burst into tears in the car. Yeah. And Howie was like, what is happening right now? Because he was just driving, and he was like, do you want to get Sonic? And I was like literally just sobbing in the passenger seat. Oh. And I was like, I can't talk right now.
Do you have like, I have intense like nostalgic and like emotional connections to this story in mm-hmm. this book, because when I was younger, when I was like little, my mom read me like the abridged version.
Aww.
And then we watched the Winona Ryder movie mm-hmm. and I was like little.
Yeah.
And then we just like would watch a movie sometimes and I'd yeah. read it sometimes, and I was so into it. And then, so, like, when the new movie came out with mm-hmm. Saoirse, who I'm in love with.
Yes, that movie was amazing.
Yeah, and we went to see it together.
Yeah, we did.
It was so good. Yeah, and I was like, oh, my God, I love this. So, but I never read the, like, full book.
I hadn't either. Yeah.
It was very nice. I know. I was like, I texted you, and I was like, I'm, like, crying all the time.
I know.
It's so lovely and wonderful.
I know.
It's so good.
It is so good. It's nostalgic for me in that, first of all, my mom loved it dearly and my grandma loved it dearly, but also I was in a production of Little Women, the musical. If you guys didn't know, that there's an opera and there's a Broadway musical.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about the opera really, but I know that the Broadway musical, amazing. Sutton Foster played Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. The music is phenomenal. I have it all memorized. And in high school, I was in a production. Actually, I think this was my last musical that I was in, and I played Meg. So it was also, like, probably my biggest role. And it was awesome. Like, it was the most fun show I'd ever done, to the point where, like, usually I would do a show, and, like, after the 2 weekend runs, I would be like, no, I'm ready for the show to be over. This is exhausting. But this was when I was like, well, I could do this for the rest of my life. I love this show yeah. so much. And it was, I mean, because the show itself is also beautifully written. It's just wonderful, and we had an excellent cast, and it was just so fun. And even though I feel like I'm more of a Joe personality, I love Meg so dearly.
I love her too.
She's wonderful. She and I do have some of that too. Some of the older sisterness yeah. of Meg.
I was thinking about this on the way here. I was like, if I had to pick who I was, like, I don't know if I could.
Right? Because it's like a little bit of multiple.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
all, I love them all.
Yeah. I think I am more feminine than Joe.
Yeah.
So that's my Meg part. I think I'm probably a good mix, honestly, of yeah. Meg and Joe.
Yeah.
I'm not a ton of Amy or Beth, because Beth is an angel, so.
I know. Like, it feels, like, presumptuous to say you're a yeah. Beth.
Who on this earth could say I'm a Beth?
Honestly, I think I have a little Amy in me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I probably do, too.
Yeah.
I
mean, we all have a bit of Amy.
We all have a bit of Amy. She's funny. She's fun.
God, but I will say this. I absolutely hated her whenever we first read it.
Uh-huh.
I could not believe that uh-huh. she would do that to Joe's manuscript. As a young yeah. child, that ruined me so much for Amy's character. Like, I vowed I'd
like,
hate her forever.
Hate Amy. I will never forget
her. And then
her.
The thing that happens so later, yeah. I was like, everything about this makes me dislike Amy.
Oh,
when I was
God.
Little, it took me until the 2019 version for me to be like, actually, I like Amy.
That is so funny. I mean, what's her name that played Amy in the 2019
Florence
version?
Pugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
She did so well. Her version of Amy is just like so lovable and adorable. Mm-hmm. And so
she is, but she's also very strong.
She is. Yeah, exactly. I think it's funny. When we did our production of Little Women, I'm trying to think like age range. I was the second youngest of the actors,
uh-huh.
and I played the oldest sister. And then our oldest actress, who's about to age out of the youth program, played Amy. She was really short, and she did perfect. She
oh my
was
gosh.
So, like, bratty, and then later just, like, so cool.
Yes.
And then our, like, second oldest was Joe, which is actually mm-hmm. accurate. And then I guess our middle ones were, I think our youngest was Beth.
Uh-huh.
But it was so fun.
Yes.
It was such a good time.
Oh, man.
My mom says she has pictures of it somewhere.
I
want
have to see.
You
got to post them.
I did get to wear a pretty dress on stage. It was like the first time I'd ever gotten to wear like a really big, pretty dress.
Yes.
And so that was awesome. And the music was like pretty in my range finally.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice. But I'll see if I can find some pictures. I hate that they didn't give us DVDs. They wouldn't, like, because they wouldn't buy the rights for us to get DVDs.
I would love to watch it.
Unless you sold a certain amount of tickets, you wouldn't even get to watch it yourself, like, once afterwards. They'd have a viewing party for people who sold tickets.
What?
And I didn't know anyone. We moved up there, so I didn't know anybody.
That's stupid. They could have let you come.
Right, yeah. So
you were Meg.
I was Meg.
You were 1/4 of the star power.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was just... It was a blast. I would love to be in that show again. And I don't care who I am. That's the thing. Every character's... Maybe not Beth as much, because I don't have the purity in me to be Beth.
You're just pure and wonderful, and then you die.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't do it. Anyways.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess I'll tell everyone what it's about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you want me to read the dedication first?
Yes. Oh, yes, do it. This is pretty cute.
Okay, so my mom bought the copy of Little Women that I read. My mom bought it for my Mimi. In 1994, and at the top it says Christmas 1994, and I'm just gonna read it to you guys and try not to cry through it, because it's so on point for what this podcast is. Mother, I remember you always telling me how much you loved this book. Please take time to enjoy it again. I have many things in my life to be thankful to you for. A love for reading is one that I hope to pass on to my children. I love you, Heather, which is my mom. Aww. And she totally did pass on a love of reading. I've got a podcast about like, yeah, so my mom definitely did what she promised.
She did. My favorite line is, I hope you'll take the time to read it again.
Yeah, I hope you'll take the time to enjoy this again. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's so wonderful, getting to, like, revisit things that make you happy.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was from Christmas 1994.
Oh, lovely.
And it's a beautiful copy. And that's, reading the dedication was what made me burst into tears in the car. So I was like, okay, am I going to burst into tears on the podcast? Maybe.
I am. They're coming up. I got to be honest.
I have a headache right now, so I was embracing the headache and trying to focus on the headache as I read it. So it's like when like in movies they do like a lie detector test and they're sticking like a pin on their own nails the whole time.
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm doing to control my tears. No, I'm thinking about tears. So tell me about the book.
Okay. The book. Okay, so this is another book where a lot of it isn't necessarily plot relevant. Yeah. So I might not say everything that happens in the book.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm just gonna hit the highlights.
Yeah,
I think.
Plot-wise, not that much happens. It's more of a
character study.
It
truly
is, but more interesting than Emma, because there's a little more plot than Emma. Also, there's a lot. It's not a character study of like one person. It's a character study of four people.
And then,
five.
You know, there's
really
extra. Yeah, if we count Teddy. Yeah. So. Oh my god, I'm gonna cry.
Okay, I tried to get Javi to agree to say, like, okay, if we ever have a son, we should name him Theodore.
Uh-huh.
Because of this.
Because you
I wanted
call
to
him
name
Teddy.
Him Teddy. I want to call him Teddy.
It's one of the best names.
It's excellent. And if he doesn't like it, you could go by Theo. Like, there's other
Theo
names.
Theo is also a good one.
Ted.
Like, I think I was literally talking to Haley about this the other day. I was thinking Teddy is the superior nickname for Theodore.
Yep.
Theo is second best. Yep. Ted is the worst. Is third. Yep. But it's still not terrible, I guess.
And in this, they call him Laurie.
Yeah.
Because Theodore Lawrence.
Except for Joe.
I know. Javi said no, though. He said our son would get beat up. But he did agree. Everybody, I have an announcement to make. This is so exciting.
Yes.
Kendall, I got him to agree that when we have a child, boy or girl, the middle legal name, this is not a joke, I repeat, will be Dragon Slayer.
What?
Isn't that exciting?
That's baller, actually.
I was like, no kid can actually get made fun of for that for long. Like, maybe in elementary school, because kids will make fun of you for anything. Literally, even if you don't
but
have a middle
name. You
have
name. To respect it, you know?
Yeah, that's the balls. Thing. There's a... Exactly. There is a certain level of respect that just has to come with the middle name Dragon Slayer. And you know, like, even if they get teased about it in school a little bit, in middle school and high school, everyone's going to wish that was their middle name. And then later on, it's just going to be awesome, right? Exactly. My mom was like, that's nice, honey. And I was like, no, I'm 100% serious. Get ready to embroider that shit on
Teddy
some baby
Dragon
blankets.
Slayer O'Rourke.
I know. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Theodore Dragon Slayer. He sounds like a knight.
Oh, it sounds awesome. Maybe if I phrase it like that, Javi will put
Theodore
back on the table.
Yeah, Theodore sounds good with Dragon Slayer.
It really does.
And you're not going to call him Theodore, you
no,
know?
Unless he's in trouble. Then it's
Theodore Dragon Slayer. You get in here right now. He sounds like a YA main character. More like a middle grade main character.
He does. Amazing. But yeah, so anyways, I'm pretty happy about that.
What would be a good girl first name for Dragon Slayer? Honestly, I don't know. There's so many.
Josephine Dragon Slayer.
Josephine Dragon Slayer. It's pretty good. Louisa Dragon Slayer.
Yeah.
We'll think about it.
Amy? No. No. That's not going to do it. I don't
know. Elizabeth the Dragon Slayer.
Ooh, I like that. Javi wouldn't go with Elizabeth either.
What? Elizabeth is a classic name.
He keeps nullifying some really good names.
And Elizabeth has a lot of nicknames, too.
That's exactly right.
Liz, Betty, Beth.
Ellie. There's, like, so many. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth is infinite as far as nicknames go. And Javi was like, that name is lame. And I was like, you're lame. What?
Eliza.
Eliza, exactly, which is another good one. Javi was like, no to those names, but yes to Dragon Slayer.
This doesn't surprise me, actually.
No. Pretty exciting stuff. Anyways.
So.
I think Joe would approve.
Oh, yeah. So let's get into it. Our Little Women is about the four March sisters.
Yeah.
And they live in Concord. Much like Louisa May Alcott. Mm-hmm.
There is a song in the musical called Off to Massachusetts that Beth sings, and it gets stuck in my head anytime anyone says Massachusetts. And for most of this book, I was singing Off to Massachusetts.
Wait, how does the Off to Massachusetts part go?
Off to Massachusetts, yes, we're off to where the shops are sweet. Something like that. We will buy dishes there, maybe even two sets. Something like that.
Aww.
It's buy the finest china, then we'll dine a while on crepe Suzette's. She's like playing the piano with Mr. Lawrence, and so it's like a little like ditty, you know, it's not one of like the big songs, so it gets stuck in my head, and I just sang Beth it really song. Badly because I've not sang it out loud since that year in high school.
Now I'm gonna have to go listen to all the songs because I really only know Astonishing because I sang it for a show choir one
time. I've also sang it, yeah.
Christopher Columbus.
So good. I need to start saying that.
I mean to. Christopher Columbus. What's the other? She said something else, like spirits a couple of times.
Yeah, so there's another good one too. Her like curses are so excellent.
Joe, don't say that. It's slang.
Yeah.
So okay, but I'll get it.
Joe, just promise not to say Christopher Columbus.
I love them. I love them.
So okay, funny.
So the four March sisters are Amy, Beth, Joe, and Meg. Mm-hmm. And that's in chronological order based on their birth. So
yes.
Youngest to oldest. I said that in the worst way.
That's exactly how I was going to say it, too.
No, that's actually opposite chronological order based on their birth. Anyway, whatever.
No, that's correct. Didn't you go from youngest to oldest?
Yeah, but chronologically... Meg was born first, so it would be.
You're right.
Meg, Joe, Beth, Amy. Anyway.
I don't know shit. You're
whatever.
Right.
There's four of them.
Yeah.
So they keep saying they're poor, but to me they seem.
Middle class.
Middle class.
Maybe lower middle
they
class.
They do have like a servant, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like maybe low middle class.
Yeah.
But they're not starving.
No.
And they have things.
Yeah. They have like a little, just a little bit more than what they need.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
It feels like. Based on the other people living around them, lower middle class.
Yes.
These days, solid middle class.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So they are lovely, sweet girls.
They are.
And their dad is volunteering. Yes, but he's volunteering with mm-hmm. the Union Army. It's set in the Civil War.
Yes.
Basically, they live in Concord with their mom, Marmee. We love Marmee.
He's adorable.
Marmee makes me cry.
I know. Should I name my daughter Marmee?
Marmee.
Javi might let me do it if he didn't know that it's from a book. Guys will be like, we should name our daughter Hermione. And I'll be like, shut up. I'll murder. Kendall got to witness an argument about Hermione. One of many.
He's like, Hermione's been around longer than you. She was my first love.
I know. He always says that.
He was like, I was 11. She was 11. We were in love.
Exactly. He cannot let it go. And I'm like, I'm real, Javi. And he's like, you'll never be as real as Hermione. And I was like, ditto about Percy Jackson. And then he's like, Percy Jackson sucks.
Yeah, he had the audacity
to say that and worse, you guys.
Can you believe? That not on this podcast, not on our watch.
Yeah, I don't think so. I was going to invite him to join us for the Harry Potter episode, but because guys, we're going to have one.
We'll freaking see about that.
Yeah, he might have lost his, he might have lost his privileges.
We'll see. So the March sisters, they kind of each have like a little talent.
Mm-hmm.
Joe is the writer of the family.
Uh-huh.
Beth is the very sweet, loving little piano player.
Yeah.
Amy is an artist. And Meg is kind of doing her thing.
Meg is just like, she's really... kind of like the next Marmee in a way. Like she wants to do the get married, have a baby.
Yeah.
She's very
Meg's
content.
Very domestic
she's
and very,
domestic.
Like, this is what I'm into. And Meg's kind of discontent about them, because she kind of remembers when they had more money. So yeah. She's a little bit like, I wish we had pretty things.
Yeah, that's kind of her thing. I don't blame you, Meg. She enjoys domestic life. She's very content with domestic life. She just wishes that she had a little bit more money.
Yeah, but they all have fun together. Like, they all do fun things together. So then their next door neighbor,
Theodore Lawrence III.
Yes, but his grandpa is Mr. Lawrence, and it's like a big mansion. And his grandson, Theodore Lawrence III, is kind of like the like shy boy who they never really play with, but they're kind of like, there's that kid over there.
Joe's like, hey boy, let's be friends.
Joe's such a tomboy. So Joe's kind of like,
I think I'm in love.
Lori's like, I will stay here and watch from afar. But they get to meet Lori at a dance that Meg and Joe get to go to.
Mm-hmm. Where Joe goes with her famously burned dress.
Yes, Joe burned her dress.
Love the whole
And burned off Meg's bangs, basically, beforehand. And they each only have one good glove because Joe ruined her other glove.
Yeah. There's also an excellent song in the musical that is them getting ready to leave. And there's a line in the song about the gloves. It's cute.
It's really cute. She's like, I spoiled mine with lemonade. So anyway, now they're both kind of like going, and this is where you can kind of see, like, they don't have as much money as the other people because they only have, like, one nice dress. They only have one pair of gloves.
Yeah. On their own, you're, like, middle to upper class, yeah? And then you see them compared to the other families in the story, and you're like, oh, okay, never mind. Yeah. Like, not for, like, you know, the other families in the area.
Yeah. But they are happy, and they have family, and they love each other. So they're not too bad off. No. But yeah, so Joe is kind of stuck hiding from the party, and she runs into Lori, who's also hiding from the party, and they become friends, and they dance together, and then Meg ends up hurting her ankle in these shoes that were impractical.
Yeah.
Then Lori offers to take them home.
Probably would have been the Meg in this scenario, to be honest.
And Lori kind of, from there, gets kind of pulled into their lives. Yeah. And he loves this because he's kind of lonely at his grandpa's house, which is his grandpa and his tutor.
Yes.
John Brooke. Brooks? John Brooks.
Is it Brooks or Brooke? I don't remember because I thought it was Brooke, but then in the audiobook I was listening to, it sounded like they were saying
Brooks. I thought it was Brooks, but I think it's Brooke.
Because I thought in the musical, like, my memory of it was that it was Brooke. That's okay. We can call whatever we want. We all know. We know.
You know, that guy.
My mom just said she bought me french fries and pizza in the freezer so I can make french fry pizza, and I didn't eat it. I didn't know it was there. I was just watching her dog. I didn't know. I could have had french fry pizza, you guys.
Dang it.
Sad day.
It's Mr. Brooke with an E on the end.
Ah.
B-R-O-O-K-E.
Yeah.
Okay. So mine has a like glossary of characters in the back.
Nice.
That's very cute.
Yeah, her copy is also beautiful.
So then Lori kind of becomes friends with all the girls. They all start hanging out together. I'm rushing through some stuff just because there's a lot of them being cute.
It's also a very long book.
It's a long book.
Yeah.
Joe like invites Lori into their little like society.
Yeah.
Their Dickens-inspired society mad.
It is. Yes, it is. There's another good song in the musical about that. Really, all of, like, the scenes that really make an impact on your imagination in this book, they're all in, like, almost, like, word for word in the musical.
Yeah.
Like, the musical is taken just directly out of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was noticing that about the movies, too.
Yeah, they really are. Like, every adaptation has stayed very close.
Very close. There are a couple times I was like, oh, they move these around, these events.
Yeah, exactly.
But generally, like, all the things you want to be in it are in it.
Yeah, they are. And even, like word for word, some of the lines show up in every single adaptation.
Yeah, because I just watched the 2019 one on Thursday, and I was like, oh, yeah, they say this exactly in the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So Lori, I know, right? Lori sets up like a little post office for them,
so cute.
And he gives everybody a key.
Yeah,
and so everybody, you know, puts stuff in the post office for each other, and they have a good time. Meanwhile, Mr. Brooke kind of likes Meg.
Their father gets injured.
Yes, their father gets injured, and so Marmee has to leave.
Mm-hmm. And John Brooke goes too.
And John Brooke goes
to go help.
Accompanies them.
Yes.
So that's really nice. And while she's gone, Beth gets sick.
Yep.
And because Beth has been visiting this like horror family. Yeah, the Hummels. And their baby died of scarlet fever.
It's
and
so
then Beth
sad.
Gets sick with scarlet fever.
Yeah, and she's the only one of the girls. Well, Amy hasn't gotten it either, but both Meg and Joe have gotten it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and Beth has been going over to Mr. Lawrence's house to play the piano. Yeah, because he loves her and they get along. And yeah, she's very good at the piano.
Sweet.
So then Amy has to go live with their mean aunt, Aunt March.
Aunt March.
Who Joe has been, throughout the years, going to read to and taking care of, sort of.
Aunt March in the musical is quite the
Aunt March is wild. She is. She's so mean.
She's so mean.
So poor little Amy has to go over. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot the part where basically Amy gets mad because Joe and Meg get to go to the theater with Teddy, which is what Joe calls Lori.
Yes.
Amy gets mad and it's like, you'll regret this, Joe March. And she goes and burns up Joe's story.
Manuscript, handwritten manuscript.
The only copy that she's been working on for years.
Yep.
This ruined me. I couldn't believe it. She burns it up.
You're Joe, like, this is why back. I hated Amy.
I did. I really did. And so Joe's furious with her. They get in a fight. And then basically the only thing that ends the fight is that
Amy almost drowns.
Yes, Amy goes after Lori and Joe while they're ice skating and she almost drowns.
Yeah.
And so then she's like, oh my God, I could have lost my sister.
Yeah.
And so then they make up.
Yeah.
It's basically Beth is kind of Joe's favorite among the youngers, sisters, and Amy is like Meg's favorite, sort of.
Yeah, it's true. They're more similar to each other. Like, Beth and Joe value, like, you know, mental strength and cuity and stuff, and Meg and Amy are more. Like, they do value physical things and pretty things.
Yeah,
more.
They like
material
things. Like,
the domestic life. Yeah.
But they all get along. I mean, they're sisters. They're going to fight. Basically, Beth gets sick while Marmy is gone. It gets, like, really bad off. Mm-hmm. Marmy has to come back.
Yeah.
They're not sure if she's going to make it. But Beth ends up pulling through.
Yay.
And then their dad comes home for Christmas.
Yeah, for Christmas. It's a surprise. And Lori played a big part in that, too. Yes. Like, they weren't going to send for Marmy. Uh-huh. And so they were all so sad. And Lori's like, well, I did send for her. And Joe is like, just like hugs him and cries. And they have like a very, it's probably their most intimate moment that they have as friends or that we get to see in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty intimate.
They make me cry. They make me cry.
They're like the best friends you've ever seen.
They really are.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, they are so like, they need each other.
They need each other.
They're so like soulmates in that way.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a lot of opinions. I myself have many opinions. But I do feel that they are soulmates, whether you want it to be romantic or platonic.
I agree. I think they are platonic soulmates.
Yeah.
And I think at the end they get to continue that, which is kind of nice.
And then
their dad comes home.
Yes, dad comes home.
And Mr. Brooke comes home.
Yeah.
And we find out that he's been like, hey, so can I date your daughter?
Hey, basically. So I'm in love with Meg.
And they're like, she is way too young. You have to wait 3 years.
Meg is 17.
And they're like, you must wait till she's 20. And he's like, okay, but it's okay if I like try and win her affections. And they're like, sure, man, go for it. Whatever.
Yeah.
I guess. They're like, he's a very good young man.
He is.
He's been helping them this whole time.
He's very respectable.
Yeah.
Joe kind of hates him because she's like, I don't want him to take Meg away from me.
See, I don't relate to that about Joe either, because I'm like, the romantic in me is like, aw, love.
No, see, that I absolutely relate to that in Joe. I'm like, get the hell away from my sister. That would be me. Every time one of my friends dating somebody new, I'm like, no way, you.
See, I did not have that. I was like, how exciting. Maybe they'll be in love forever. I feel like you wouldn't expect this from us.
No, not at all.
But it's true.
We have many layers. We're multifaceted.
We are but onions.
We are so true. So so basically Meg and John Brooke end up getting engaged. And
that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Aunt March is like, well, then you can't have any of my money because I don't approve of him. And Meg's like, I don't need your money, bitch.
Literally. Boom, boom, boom. So Joe's upset, but she's like, I guess I'll bear it for Meg's sake.
Yeah, she for real just like, she's just giving him a dirty look every time he's in the room. Like, her level of hatred for Mr. Brooke is like unreal. Basically until Meg actually marries
she's
him.
Like, I guess I can't change it now.
Yeah.
And Lori's like thrilled, like everyone's excited.
Yeah.
And so then they get married, Meg moves out.
Mm-hmm. Amy gets to go to Europe.
Yes, Amy ends up getting to go to Europe with Aunt March instead of Joe.
It was supposed to be Joe. So this whole time, Joe's been like can't wait to go to Europe. Like, I want adventure and stuff. And so she's had it in her head this whole time that she's going to get to go. But then Amy is more what Aunt March wants. Like, Amy listens to Aunt March, and she's obedient, and she's respectful. And Joe is like...
She's a lost cause.
She's kind of a lost cause. And Amy is like, she's more... She wants to be a gentlewoman. She wants to, you know, travel Europe in a refined way.
Yeah. And she's an artiste.
She's an artiste. Exactly. And so she's just way more Aunt March's speed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she gets to go, and Joe is... We don't. I feel like it wasn't.
Joe's like all right.
She's kind of okay with it.
And more in the movie, she seems more upset. In the book, she's okay.
In the musical, she's like furious about it too.
Because I think Joe kind of realized. He's like, yeah. I mean, it's more Amy's thing anyway.
Yeah.
Joe ends up. This is a thing that's different than the movies. Joe ends up going to New York to do her like writing thing before anything with Lori happens, which I didn't expect.
The timing is different. It's different. Yeah.
So Joe goes to New York because she's just. Beth is kind of always a little sickly, and she's been kind of taking care of her, but she's okay, and she's like, I need some time for myself.
Yeah.
Plus, she's kind of like, I think Lori might be into me, and I'm not...
I don't want to quench that.
Yeah. So she's like, I'm going to go do my own thing. I think
a lot of us have been there. You're like, guy friend, no. Guy friend, no.
No.
So
Marmy's like, yeah, maybe a good idea.
Yeah.
So Joe goes to New York. Mm-hmm. She's like teaching, and like where she lives in this boarding house.
It's where and, she meets Fritz.
Yes.
Friedrich.
Yes, Mr. Bear.
Mr. Bear.
And he's a professor, and he's a German professor, and he, not of German, he's from Germany, and he's a professor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's, like, old. Joe is, like, 21, and he's, like, almost 40 is what they said.
Yes.
Which is not unreasonable.
No.
Especially for then.
No.
I'm fine with it. I'm allowing everything.
I'm fine with it at that point. It's also about like the person. Like it's not like she's an Amy person. Amy needed someone like in her age range.
Yeah.
Joe is into like what she's interested in life and like intellect wise, like what she's focused on is just I'm not surprised she went for a professor.
I'm not surprised either. I have to explain where I'm at right now.
Uh-huh.
My whole life, almost, I've been very upset that Joe and Lori don't get it together.
Yeah, no,
I'm one
agree.
Of those.
No, I was. But, too. It took me a long time.
Yeah, in recent months, I've come to terms with it. I think since I watched the 2019 one, they did the Amy Lori thing pretty cute.
Yes.
So I was like, kind of more like, okay, maybe it makes sense.
In the musical,
and then reading the book,
the
I was
Amy
like, maybe
Lori
it makes
thing
sense.
Is really cute in the musical too.
Yeah.
So that I still didn't. Even then, I didn't like it for a while.
Yeah.
So then, I was like, okay, I can see it. And then with the same 2019 version, I was like, okay, I'm sold on it.
Yeah.
I guess they're really good together.
I'm still kind of fighting my instincts on this. Uh-huh. I'm like, no,
I
like
can tell.
I like this.
You sound like you're trying to convince yourself.
That everybody ends up with who they end up with. I love it.
You're like, no, I love this. It's not a problem for me at all.
No, yeah. I don't know. I have many conflicting feelings. So I'm also like, is Joe a lesbian? Maybe so.
I thought so.
You know what I mean?
Like, she seems like she is. So.
There's just a lot of thoughts in my brain about it. But anyway,
I think she chose Mr. Bear. Regardless of who it was going to be, she needed a very particular person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not surprised that it was Mr. Bear.
Yeah, like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And he's a sweetie.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, he's so sweet.
So Mr. Bear is really cool. And he's like good with kids. And he's
so
a sweetie.
Good with kids.
Okay. Another thing I was surprised about. In both of the movies, when they have this scene where he's like, I don't like this. You need to be doing better writing.
Yeah, that didn't really happen.
It did not happen in the book.
No, same in musical, that's in there too. But yeah.
It's really weird.
It's very strange. They were like, he challenges her. Joe needs someone who challenges her. And I was like, does she?
But it was really more like Joe was kind of like, maybe I just want to start writing different stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't even really a thing.
Yeah.
Because she does want his approval because she respects him.
I mean, he said,
him,
like, one thing about being, like, I don't approve of, like, these sensational works where the whole point of, the, like, the narrative
but
is...
he didn't come at her or anything. It wasn't mean in any way. And
no,
I kind of feel
like... critical of her.
No. In both of the movies, he kind of is, though.
Same in the musical.
Yeah.
He is, yeah.
And I'm like, this is
He's
weird.
He's straight up like, this is garbage, you know?
Yeah.
You're garbage.
Yeah. And I'm like, see, if somebody did that to me, I'd be like, no way.
No,
we're done.
You. Yeah, no. In the book, he's significantly sweeter.
Yeah, he's really sweet. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
So, but Joe ends up going back to Concord, and Teddy is graduating college.
Yeah.
And so she goes, and this is when he proposes to her.
Yeah, and she's like, oh.
She's like,
no.
Please don't. He's like, you've got to hear me out. And she's like, ooh, I'd really rather not.
I'd really rather not. Please take the hint.
Ugh.
Okay, and he's like, I got your hint, but I have to say this anyways. Right. And you're like, why?
Teddy, no. Because the thing about it is, like, I'm always on Joe's side. She is, you know, our one true queen.
She is.
But at the same time, I'm like, I don't want Teddy to be sad. No. Like, it's not her fault. I'm not saying that, but it's like, I hate to see it, you know?
Yeah, same. It's just like, he should get to express his feelings, even though it'd be easier if he just took the hint and didn't. But also...
Yeah, I just...
Joe is totally in her right to be like, no.
I respect her always.
Same.
I just am sad that it worked out this way. I know. You know what I mean?
I shipped them together for sure.
They have such a... They're so... They need to be together is how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, platonically at least.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
I agree.
So I'm like, it sucks because after this, they aren't for like 3 years.
I know. He takes this really well. And he's like, I'm going to go F off in Europe then.
I know.
Screw you. And you're like, oh, Lori.
Oh, Lori, please. Oh, Lori. My boy.
Yep.
I love how she always calls him my boy.
My boy. I know.
Like, my sweet boy.
My boy. Like, it's you.
It is. There was a line that was so cute. I like highlighted it in my Audible, but she said something like, is that my boy over there? And he's like, sure is, you're my girl. And then they like hugged and I was like, I'm going to cry. Anyway.
So that is absolutely a you scene. That's such a you moment. It was
so cute. They're so sweet together. So anyway, things go bad with that. Poor Joe. I mean, Teddy's like her best friend. So I'm sure this sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And so, because especially after that, because he leaves. Yeah. So he goes to Europe.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And there's that terrible scene, too, right before he leaves. And he's, like, saying goodbye to the family.
Yeah.
And then she's, like, on the stairs. And she goes after him. And he turns and he's like, really, Joe? No. And she's like,
Teddy. Hugs her. And she's like, no. And I mean, I am glad that she stuck, like stuck to her guns the whole time.
Yeah.
Because this is why, okay, I have seen this happen so many times. It almost happened to me. Like, the thing where a girl says no because it's a guy friend. She doesn't want to ruin the friendship. She doesn't feel that way. And then the guy, like, convinces her into it, and then things go badly because it never should have happened. So I'm just like, Joe, you did exactly what you should have done. This was the only best thing you could have done.
I know.
Anything else would have made things worse in the long term if you didn't feel like that for him.
Yes.
But it's so hard. But I'm so proud of her.
Yeah. Well, Joe is, she's the stand-up gal, you know.
She is, yeah.
I think what it is I think that in the 1994 movie, they have such chemistry. Want them to be together so bad in the movie that was my framework for so many years. Because reading the book, I'm like, Joe's not in love with Lori.
No.
Like,
I agree. In that movie, you're kind of like, but they do love each other.
Yeah. In the 94 one, I'm like, maybe you shouldn't have cast them if they have this much chemistry. I don't know.
Exactly. You needed more brother sister. Exactly. They didn't have brother sister chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even in the 2019 one, like, Timothy and Saoirse do have great chemistry. And I do kind of ship them, but at the same time, I can see them being best friends, too. You can see either
way. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yes. So
I don't even remember who played Lori in our musical. How bad is that? I remember our Professor Bear, because he was also, like, one of the younger ones in the cast. But he was so tall. His name's Wyatt. Hi, Wyatt. If you listen to this. Him and his family were from Canada. And they were all so tall. And Wyatt played Mr. Bear, and he did very good.
Aww.
But I just remember because, like, our... Joe was one of our oldest ones in the cast.
Uh-huh.
So it was not that he was one of, we had like little kids.
Yeah.
But of like the older group of kids, Wyatt was one of the younger of the older group. Yeah, it was just funny. But he did great.
Good job, Wyatt.
So I always think of that.
Did he do a German accent?
He did. Yeah. He did
yes,
good.
Yes, Wyatt. Great job.
Hell yes, Wyatt. Yeah, he did great.
So Teddy goes to Europe and he encounters Amy there because Amy is still in Europe. And Amy's having a great old time in Europe.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back in the States, Beth is, like, getting sicker, and Meg is... There's a lot with Meg and Mr. Brooke, but it's not, like, super important.
No, it's not. It was it's sweet, though.
It's nice. Yeah.
They have twins.
They do have twins, yeah.
Oh, you guys, fun anecdote on the side I was definitely going to tell. Basically, when I was in the musical, we... what's it called? Intermission, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... he proposes or whatever. Well, before intermission, it's actually when he's going to go off to the Civil War, right? Which is actually a scene that's actually not in the book either, but that's in the musical. And it's like a very like heartbreaking scene. And we have a beautiful song or something about it. I think it was in that scene. But anyways, intermission happens. We come back. They're married. She's very pregnant. So I get to come back on with like this pregnancy apron, which was just an apron that went over my normal costume that had a pillow, like a round pillow under it. But I had to, like, learn to, like, walk to look pregnant uh-huh. with it for, like, that and a few scenes after until I had the babies or whatever. Uh-huh. And so I had never, like, no one in my life had been pregnant. So I followed pregnant women around the mall to see how they walked for this role. I totally did. There was a maternity shop at the mall. And I just kind of, like, hung around outside the maternity shop. Until pregnant women come walking out, and I'd be like, And I called it the rock the baby walk, because there's this way that, like, significantly pregnant women walk, where they kind of, like, go side to side, and it's kind of like they're already rocking the baby.
Yes.
It's because they're, you know, it's
baby's so big.
Yeah. It's because their center of gravity is off. But I did follow them around. And there was a scene where I had to sit down on a couch with my big, like, pregnancy belly. And then get back up. And apparently a few of the, like, moms in the audience were like, excellent work. Truly excellent. Because Meg is pregnant with twins. Yes. So she's not just pregnant. She's pregnant super with twins. Pregnant.
She's mega pregnant.
She's mega pregnant. During Civil War times. The Civil War is over at this point, actually.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, anyways, pregnant with twins.
Good for you. You did your research.
Like, I feel like Louisa May Alcott did not, like... I feel like that should have been more of a thing.
Yeah, it really was just like, suddenly they have babies?
They have two babies. She got pregnant with twins and had them both, no complications. That's impressive.
Way to go, Meg.
You go, Meg. Anyways.
I love Meg.
That was my anecdote.
Meg March is such a cute name.
Isn't it so
March
cute?
March is a great last name. They all have cute names.
They do.
Beth March. Amy March.
I'm sure Joe I can't March. Convince Javi to name her child. I like the name Margaret, too. I'm sure he'd say no.
Margaret March.
All the good names. Because that's what, it's Meg, Margaret.
Yeah.
Meg, Margaret. That's
sometimes
what...
they call her Peggy too. Did you notice that?
Oh, I totally
they did
not
it like once
that.
Or twice. I was like, oh, that's funny.
Before, like, the big sweet, like, gorgeous duet in the musical uh-huh. between John Brooke and Meg, he goes, Meg, Margaret. And so that's what I think of when I think about her name.
Well, there was a part in the book when he called her Margaret and yeah. Meg was like, oh, wait a minute.
It's like, oh my god, what? In the scene in the musical, it's because basically they like each other, they want to get married to each other. Right. He's basically like in the musical, she asks him not to go serve in the war. Uh-huh. Right. And he walks in uniform and that's how she sees. And so it's like a big scene. And it's what we did. It was the scene they had us audition with, too.
Oh, wow.
And I OK, you guys, it was horrible because I wasn't going to audition. I was going to just be on crew or something. Uh-huh. I didn't really know that much about Little Women. So I wasn't going to audition for it. And then I did, like, literally the day before I was like, actually, I am going to audition. And so then I got a call back, which was exciting. But it's like a youth theater, so they try and give everyone callbacks mm-hmm. if they cancel. It's like, okay, whatever. And they had me read for Meg in the scene. And the guy, Austin Peters, beautiful singer, uh-huh. voice of an angel. They had him greeting for John, and I did Meg. And that was the scene. And I didn't know anything about the story or anything. Mm-hmm. But we did that scene, and they were like, the directors were all tearing up.
Oh.
Which I didn't understand because I didn't know anything about the book
yeah.
or the story. So I was like, apparently this is a really emotional scene. But they all, like, teared up when we did the scene for auditions and we both got those parts.
Nice.
Which is exciting. So
you're
I'm
the
like
dream team.
Right. So at the time I was like, I am so good at acting. And then after reading the book, I was like, oh no, this is just a heartbreaking scenario. I was just like, so I'm amazing.
You're like, so I am a prodigy. I'm going to be the best actress ever.
So I am going to be fantastic.
You'll see my name in life. I promise you that.
such Joe energy about it. I'm sorry. So that was my anecdote, but it was
fun. I loved it. Lori and Amy started hanging out.
She's like, so you've gotten kind of lame, Lori.
Yeah,
because
Lori's like depressed. And
he's depressed. He doesn't do anything.
He's kind of being lazy.
They call him lazy Lori.
A little gadabout.
Yeah, you know? A little gadabout. That's what he's become.
And Amy's very industrious. And Amy's like mm-hmm. 18 now, you know.
Yeah.
She's like
a young woman. She's a little woman.
She is. She's gotten, you know, more mature, and mm-hmm. she's, like, doing her art and all this stuff. And so she's like, hey, Lori, you gotta straighten
she's
up.
She's like, frankly, Lori, not impressed.
Yeah.
And he's like, ooh.
He's like, okay, I will get myself together. He tries to, like, write an opera or something, and he tries to make Jo the, like, leading yeah. lady, but he's like, God, she's just not eloquent. She's just not, like, graceful enough
she's
to be
not. The and then he keeps thinking of, like, the golden-haired muse. Yeah. Amy's the only blonde one of the group.
Yes.
So we're like, oh, he's uh-huh. thinking of Amy.
He likes little Amy.
Aww.
It also weirded me out when I have a weird thing with age gaps. So when I was
you
younger,
do.
It weirded me out, but now I'm like, okay, he's, like, 24. He's...
Not
yeah.
even.
It's
is
not.
He?
They're Joe and Lori are only 4 years older than Amy, so it's not a big deal, really.
No.
He's like 22.
My husband is 6 years older than me, and that you know him. does not feel like that at all.
Yeah. Like, as a young child, I'm like, she's the youngest. Because up until then, you only saw her as a young
as
girl.
A child. Yeah. You also saw her as a child. So,
yeah. So yeah. I'm like, this is weird. But now I'm like, okay, it's not weird.
I'm less weird about age gaps. Because I don't like a lot of people my age. Especially dudes.
This
no
is
offense.
Just my first.
No offense,
weird
but
thing.
Offense.
No offense, but get it together. Amy to Lori. So they.
So true. So, grown up Amy, I do relate to.
I love grown up Amy.
More. Grown up Amy might be my favorite. I think her character arc is my favorite.
Yeah, she comes a long way, you know. And it's not like she's bad when she's younger. She's just like the youngest, and she's a little, you know, likes things, and
she's
a little
things.
Silly sometimes. And
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Fine. She's doing her thing. So,
So her and Lori fall in love.
They fall in love, yes, because he comes back and he's like, "Okay, I am in love with you." And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of like, wait. Because Joe was like, you're gonna, listen, we're not gonna be good together. You're gonna find somebody else. You'll get over it. I know you will. And he's like, I will not.
Yeah,
and
then he's like, I promise you I won't.
Yeah, and then he's like, maybe I am getting over it. He's
perhaps
in Europe
she was
and he's
right.
Like, interesting.
Interesting.
So, okay, I do hate some of the phrasing, though, about this. He kind of implies, like, yeah, I couldn't have Joe, but... Amy,
oh, I know.
Like, also
in
good.
The book, in the book, yeah,
it's a little bit weird. I'm
it
like,
is super
Lori,
weird.
I love you so much, my boy, but what
he,
is this?
It's almost like he doesn't know how to talk about it because when it, like, when the narrator like talks about his feelings towards Amy, you're like, okay, those are genuine, real things. They're not like replacement feelings. But then when he talks about it himself
he's
with
like,
his words, you're like,
replacement.
Dude. He's like new sister, and you're like, no.
Yeah, it's like, ooh,
yeah,
buddy. Not
no.
great. My mom was always like, he just wanted to be part of the family.
I genuinely
like,
think that was part of it. Yeah.
It is probably part of it.
Yeah.
Dude, true. I mean, I'm sure they're happy together and I know they're in love.
They are.
But I wish he had gone about it a different way
I
in
know.
His brain.
How they fall in love in the musical is adorable too. Actually, I think it might be the same. It's when they capsize a canoe or something or a gondola,
they
right?
They do go canoeing in this one.
Yeah, yeah, but they don't
the
capsize
book.
It, right?
I don't think so, but that's cute.
In the musical, so that's how they met, and like, so they get married overseas and then they come back, but they've like written ahead of time in the book, so everybody knows, and they're like, wow, interesting. And Joe's like surprisingly happy about this, but in the musical Joe is not exactly happy about it. She's like, what? And also they don't write in advance, so basically they just show up and they do a song called The Most Amazing Thing, and they basically describe how they were like on the river or whatever and they capsized the boat, and it's a very precious
Aww,
little scene.
That's cute.
So you kind of get to like via their song telling Joe like witness like how they fell in love, and it's significantly cuter than in the book. But Joe is like, I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Well, yeah, because in the book they like write that they're like in love, but they didn't say they're married. And so when they get there, Lori's like, my wife.
And
Joe's
like,
your wife?
My wife.
My wife. But Joe's like, I'm so happy for you guys. Like, it's not a problem at all.
No, it's also not a shock like it is in the musical.
Yeah. In the 2019 movie, which I just rewatched, it's so awkward because Joe has her speech where she's like, I just think that women are capable of so much more than just love, but I'm so lonely. That great scene. She's like, women. Anyway, but and then she writes, this is different than in the book. She writes Lori a letter to put in the post office where she's like, maybe I was too rash. Maybe we could get together, buddy. Uh-huh. Anyway.
Yep.
Because she knows he's coming back. And so then when he gets there and he's like, I'm married to Amy. She's like,
oh my God.
And she has to go take it out of the mailbox before he sees.
Yep.
It's
I
so
totally
bad.
Forgot about that. It's
I did
so
too.
Stressful.
I was like,
I like that didn't happen in the book, because what I like about Joe is that she always sticks to her guns.
Yeah.
And that is, ladies, that is the best thing you can do. If one of your guy friends develops feelings for you and you don't, stick to your guns. It's not likely to change. That's okay. Just stick to your guns. It gets so much worse if you change your mind or if you let them think that you've changed your mind.
Yeah.
Don't do it. It's... Don't do it.
She was, because like Joe cares about Lori. She's like, I'm not going to lead him on. I know for sure I don't like Lori that way, so I'm not going to do anything.
Exactly. And I was like, you handled that excellently. And then,
anyway.
In the movie. No. Although Lori kind of did a similar thing in the book where he's like, I'm going to make one last ditch attempt to.
he wrote her. You're right.
He wrote Joe and was like, hey, just checking. Do you still not love me like that? And she was like, I still don't love you like that. And he's like, excellent. Amy, will you marry me? does not look good for our boy.
It is literally what happened. Exactly. Unfortunately, it is true.
But I think for him, it was like it said something in the book too about how he didn't want it to seem like he was just switching from one sister to the other. Like he wanted everything to be like totally resolved with one, so that his relationship with Amy wasn't out of a result of the failed relationship with Joe. It was a totally different thing.
Yeah.
So like that's how in his mind, in his guy mind, he's like, this is the way to do it.
This will be great.
It's to every other woman reading the book or hearing the story that is like, oh dear Lori. Oh my.
Sweet Teddy.
Sweet Teddy. What a thing to do.
You're so interesting, my boy.
So interesting.
But the thing is like, you know he's a sweetheart. He's only ever done sweet, wonderful, generous things for them. True. He loves them. They're all best friends.
They are like family. He's totally grown up with them. And Marmee, he doesn't really have a mom. Well, he doesn't have a mom.
No.
And Marmee really became his mom. Yeah. Like he, how could Marmee not though? Like for anybody.
I mean, yeah, but for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is totally also that he's in love with the family.
He is in love with the family. I do think that Amy and Lori actually, like, they're it's so kind well of true. Joe and Lori are so similar. Mm-hmm. They're always fighting, but like they're so close that they just get all like, they're like, whatever, we'll move on.
Yeah.
Like they get along. All,
yeah.
You know.
Him and Amy wouldn't fight nearly as much.
No, they don't. And it's like a different thing.
Yeah.
And they get along still. Oh my God. I love that part whenever Amy has to go live with Aunt Marge and she's all upset about it. And so Lori's like, what if I come and visit you every day and we do something fun every day?
It's so sweet.
And she's like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. And in the movie, in the first, the 1994 one, right, is when Amy's a little girl, she says something about like not wanting to die before she's been kissed.
Yes.
I loved that in that movie.
Oh, I forgot about that. Because
then it was the like most beautiful little foreshadowing, and it was so sweet later.
I think in both of the movies they kind of play a thing more where it's like Amy's in love with Lori.
Yeah,
it's because true. In the book it's not as much there.
No,
she kind of is like, oh wait, Lori's always been like, you know, almost like a brother, but maybe he's hot now.
But maybe he's hot. I don't know.
But in both of the movies, they definitely play Amy as being in love with Lori the whole time.
I think they do too. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because she has that great speech in the new one where she's like, "I've been second to Joe my whole life, and I will not be second to her now."
Yes.
It's like, so when I have loved you my whole life. And I'm like, ah, we're all crying. Anyway, and Timothée Chalamet standing there like, what? Okay.
So good.
Anyway, so that's going on. Then Beth dies, which is very sad.
Still, well, her and Lori are still overseas.
Yes. Meg and, Amy doesn't know about it. Does she?
She knows. They send her a letter, and so she's basically, Lori goes to check on her because she's...
Yes, and that's when they get together.
And that's, that's when they start to, like, realize, oh, maybe I love you is not a sibling.
Yeah. but Beth,
Beth passes
Beth
away.
Beth passes away, and it's really, really sad.
Mm-hmm. She's been struggling with her sickness for a long time, though. She, like, never really fully recovered.
No.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God.
I never really had dreams like you guys did. No, like,
I hate that.
I think about that a lot. Like, my morbid brain does. Like, I'm just, like, walking along. I'm like, if I got hit by a car today, I'd be like, there'd be so many things I feel like I've left undone that I want to do.
Yeah.
And so I just had that thought, you know, like, because, like, so many people pass away before their time. Like, my Mimi, for instance, was very, very young when she passed away. And I'm just like, surely there were so many things she wanted to do too. Like, it would be great if, kind of like for Beth, like she was at peace, you know, because she was like, there's nothing really I wanted to do here. Like, I just wanted to spend my time with my family while I could, and I didn't have dreams that I wanted to. You're gonna make me cry because you're crying now.
It's so sad. I think about that all the time,
like with people who die before their
time. It's like she couldn't imagine herself even being older.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, to me, that's kind of like a bit of a mercy. Like, if I'm gonna die young, I would rather not feel like I've got all these things I'm gonna leave undone.
Yeah,
because I feel like I would enjoy my life so much more. But maybe that's also a part of it. Maybe that's because the important things in life are not the things that you're gonna achieve. Maybe it's the things that you have in your life right now every day.
And Beth always knew that.
And she always knew that.
Oh my God. And then Beth,
I know.
But like, she was still sad when she realized, she's like, I'm gonna die.
She was sad.
But she had like, she's like, I've been doing the things I always love to do.
Exactly. She's sad, but she doesn't have like this anxiety about it. Like, I think about like Like, when I was walking somewhere the other day, I was like, if I get hit by a car now, I was, so the idea of dying, mm-hmm. I was not scared of the death. I was so stressed and anxious about all the things that I haven't gotten to do that I still want to do. Like, the things that I want to achieve.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, so many people die before their time, and I'm sure they all had things that they wanted to achieve, too. But those aren't, you know, those aren't the things that made their lives beautiful or worthy. So that's when I've been in this. So I've also, you said that you've been like, have like kind of an emotional few weeks. I have weirdly had, I shouldn't have, but I've weirdly had a very emotional few weeks where I've just been like trying to like reprioritize. Like, but Little Women really did it to me because of just everything that the book is. The shows I've been watching, Fruits Basket, anime, anyone. It's just like the people in your life are what matter the most. And that's so, I'm so driven.
Yeah.
It is so easy to forget. So that's when, like, when I start to, like, obsess about if I die, I've left so many things undone, I know I've gotten my priorities out of order. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to put them back in order. And Beth is just, like, the ultimate example of priorities in order.
Yeah.
Although she doesn't really have any extra goals and stuff, which is, like, outside of the home, which is okay. But I can't relate to that. So I think that's why I always forget to prioritize the important things, is because I have other things I also want to do. But Beth truly had all of her priorities straight. So she wasn't anxious about dying. She was just sad to leave the people that she loved.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of the thesis of Little Women. It's because even the other characters, they have all these lofty goals and stuff, and they don't always reach them.
No.
But the whole thesis is it's the people in your life that are important. Yeah.
It's enjoying the simple things. Well, Meg does it too, because Meg wanted, she wanted, like, where her whole thing was she wanted, you know, comforts and luxuries. And she wanted a rich husband, and then she ended up marrying John Brooke, who she loved very much, but they never had money. And so there's like their whole little subplot is for a while, like, they're totally disconnected. It seems like their marriage is kind of like going down the drain for a little while because it's just not what either one of them expected. And then, of course, Marmee, beloved Marmee, kind of centers Meg again. And she's like, what really matters is your husband and your kids. You know, like, you need to, you know, focus back on that, that you love both of them. And as soon as she does, John, you know, John loves her and the kids too. So, like, things kind of fall back into place the way they're supposed to be, and they figure out how to be happy again. It's just remembering, like, what your priorities really are. It's not about material things. It's not about achievements. Like, Meg wants material things. Joe wants achievements. Amy wants both.
Yeah.
Super wants
both. It's true.
But the only one who, the only one who didn't want anything extraneous aside from relationships and family and like, you know, the people who are important to her was Beth.
Yeah.
So.
But it's just so extra sad because, like, they're like, Beth was the best of us.
She was the best.
Which is true.
I will make myself cry if I talk about it too much, but absolutely the same with my Mimi. Like, there was not, nobody who knew her can remember her ever saying a bad word about anybody. Yeah. Like, truly just, like, an angel of a person. I'm not going to cry because it shows in my voice. I'm a voice crier. It's
annoying. We have to move on from Beth dying. It's too sad.
Beth dies. Wait, it's really tragic.
Do you remember, do you watch Friends?
Yes.
Remember when Joey and Rachel are, Joey is reading Little Women and Rachel's reading The Shining, and then they're ruining the books for each other because they're mad. And Rachel goes, Beth dies. And Joey goes, and he's like, no. He's like, Rachel, if I keep reading, is Beth going to die?
So sad.
And Ross is like, Rachel, Joey's asking if you've just ruined the only book he's ever loved that doesn't star Jack Nicholson. And she's like, no, Beth doesn't die. And he's like, oh, well, why would you say that? And she's like, because I wanted to hurt you. And then at the end, like, in the, when the credits are gone, Joey walks in and he's like crying and he's like, Rachel, Beth's really sick. He's like, Joe's there, but I don't think there's anything she can do. And she's like, Joey, do you want to put the book in the freezer? And he's like, yeah.
Oh my God.
I just love how much Joey loves Little Women. It's so funny.
It's so sweet. Joey is such such a mystery, that man.
I love Joey. I love Joey. I think about,
I love Chandler.
Oh yeah, who doesn't? I just think about Beth dies. No! All the time. It's so funny.
There is, okay, in the musical, there is a deeply haunting song between Beth and Joe when they go to the beach and they go to the seaside. Yeah. They do in the book too. But that's basically when Beth tells Joe, I'm not going to make it, basically. And they have this, like, really sad song and they're flying kites and it's like a gray foggy scene and it's beautiful but it's so sad. And definitely I think we all cried like multiple times with watching that scene.
It's so sad.
It is so sad.
Terribly sad.
Why do only the good ones gotta go?
Only the good die young.
Like, Aunt March hung on for a while.
Dang it.
Wasn't that great? She was mean. God. Anyways.
But anyway, so, yes, we're very sad about
Beth. So Beth dies. It was heartbreaking.
Then Amy and Lori come back. Joe is kind of depressed because Beth is dead. She's kind of feeling lonely. And she's happy for everybody, but she's like, what am I doing? Like,
yeah, she's like, I haven't achieved my things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I understand, Joe.
And then our boy, Mr. Bear, comes back.
He does. He just shows
up. He just shows up. And he's like, hey, what's up, bestie? Who I'm in love with.
Yeah, he's like, hey, so I've missed you really, like, so much.
And so they all hang out. And everybody loves him. And everybody's having a good time. And I like it. In the book, he's there for, like, weeks. Like, he keeps coming back and hanging out.
Yeah.
And in the movie, it's, like, one time. But, you know, whatever. And so they're all having a good time. And Amy and Lori are like, oh, my God, he totally loves her. Like,
yeah, they totally are. They're like, Lori's like, he's old.
Yeah. Lori is at first like, who's this? What's going on?
Oh, my God. Earlier in the story, he's like, he basically says something like, if you're in love with that old professor, I'm going to kill myself.
Yes!
And you're like, Lori.
He does.
He's like, you're going to fall in love with that old dude. Now I'm going to be so mad. And Joe's like, it's not like that. Like, she didn't even know, like, Mr. Bear that well at the time. And Lori's like, no, you're gonna. Even if you don't now, you're gonna fall in love with him. Yeah. And then I just want to die. And you're like, Lori.
Lori can be very dramatic. I love the boy, but man, what a wild guy.
I relate to it. I relate to the drama.
I'm gonna die.
I'm literally gonna die if you do that.
Joe's like, oh my God. Yeah, basically then Joe's like, maybe I am in love with Mr. Bear. She goes and they basically are like, yeah, we're in love with each other.
In the rain, they propose.
In the rain, yeah, under an umbrella.
There is a song in the musical, the last song, I believe, which is called A Little Fall of Rain or something like that. Not like the
Not the Lame Is one.
Not the Lame Is one.
A little fall of rain.
What is it? No. Or is it called?
Me now.
It's not called Sun Shower, but there's a line in the song West Sun Shower. I think it's called Little Fall of Rain, or it's something really similar to that. But it's a song that it's exactly that scene, but they're singing it, basically. It's very sweet.
It's a very good scene.
He's like, I'm not too old for you. And she's like, nah, man.
She's like, whatever. No, but the iconic line is, he's like, I have nothing to give you. My hands are empty. And then she like she like holds his hands and she's like, no, not anymore.
Whatever.
And I'm like, oh, so Joe. Sweet. It's adorable. And then she inherits Aunt March's house.
Aunt March finally kicked
it
off.
Yeah, and she turns it into a school.
She does, and because they're both teachers also.
Yeah, and then everybody's happy. And I was crying because we don't get this in the movies, but Amy and Lori named their daughter Beth.
Yeah.
And they Joe named her son Teddy.
I know.
I was crying.
I know.
And then the very, very last line is so good. Wait, let's read
it. It's almost as good as Dragon Slayer.
Yes, almost. The very, very last line, Marmee is sitting with all her girls, and she says, oh, my girls, however long you may live, I never can wish you a greater happiness than this. And then it's over.
That's so sweet.
And we're all crying.
God, this book is just, if you need your priorities set in order, and you want, like, a great read and a great holiday read, this is the book. I mean,
everybody should read Little Women.
Everybody should read
this
Little Women.
This is the book.
Yeah. And it's one, if you're like, classics are hard, I feel you. Listen to an
audiobook.
This book
is not hard to read.
It's not hard to read. Not at all. If the length intimidates you, you can listen to an audiobook. And the language is so simple.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a classic. And it is so good. I could just cry like 1 million times.
Can I say something you might not like?
Oh, you can.
Okay. This, after reading Little Women, I'm like, oh my God. Anne of Green Gables and Little Women are in the exact same vein. Exact.
I'm literally going to kill myself.
There are a lot of plot points even, or not plot points, but like conversations maybe that remind me of each other. And I'm like, is Ellen Montgomery a huge Little Women fan or something? But like the energies of them are so similar in that when I read them, I'm just like, this is the most lovely, sweet, wonderful thing I've ever read. And I could read this for the rest of my life.
Kendall, I'm going to literally die because you've told this to me.
I'm serious. Like, it's the exact same. Stop it. I don't understand your thing with Anne of Green Gables. It's so wonderful and perfect and sweet. It is. And I've added it to our season 3 reading list. We are reading
it. Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
No.
I don't understand. If you like Little Women, you'll like Anne of Green Gables.
I don't know.
I'm positive.
I don't like Anne.
Anne is crazy, but she's fun.
Well, I like crazy. I just don't like her.
You need to, listen, you need to get your priorities straight.
That girl needs to get her priorities straight.
Exactly.
No, I have my priorities straight, thanks to Beth. And I still don't like Green Gables. Fine. You guys, this is so against my will.
I, listen, this is for your own good.
Nah.
I'm serious. It's one of those things where you're just like, I am going to cry because the world is beautiful and people are lovely. Like, that's the energy. Ugh. I get when I read this book. Disgusting. And Anne of Green Gables.
I don't get that energy.
You're like, no, I like the sad parts.
Like, no, the world
Beth
sucks.
Dies. Beth dies. Beth dies.
No, the world is beautiful and it's the simple things that matter. That's the vibes that I get. That's the vibe. Book.
Yeah.
I guess.
Listen, we don't have to worry about
we'll
it now.
See. Watch me, like, absolutely love it.
I know, right?
Or watch me hate it. Or I might absolutely love it. I don't know. The last time I tried to read Little Women, I couldn't do it because I was like, it's too hard. Yeah. And then I was like, what the hell? Why did
see,
I think
things
that?
Change. You never know.
They do. Things change. You know, one day you're in love with Joe, then you're in love with their little sister. Things change.
You know what? C'est la vie. It's when in Rome.
Literally, when in Rome.
Oh, Teddy.
The most amazing thing. Really quite a thing. Da, 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 da. You tell her. But no, you tell her. That's how the song goes.
Da, 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 da.
That's how it goes. Anyways, it's adorable. They both
Christopher
tell
Columbus, Ash.
Christopher Columbus.
Astonishing.
Oh my god.
Yes. At last. Is that an end of Act One song?
I want to say it is.
It feels like it.
It feels, you know, like it is. I don't remember.
Astonishing. She goes
it's
for it.
So good.
I'm like, go, Joe!
You guys should really look up some scenes from the Broadway Little Women. It is. Actually, I think it is my favorite musical.
Dang.
Every song is good. Mm-hmm. Every single song is good. And it's because it's only a cast of 10 people.
Nice.
It's
I love
just
that.
Like so tight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's every, all the dialogue is really well written because it all basically came out of the book.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, I think it might be my favorite musical. It's so good. It's so good. And there's this whole like subplot that's like one of Joe's stories is playing out, but all of the other actors play the characters in the novel because that's what
cute.
She has them do in like their plays. So there's this whole like subplot of like these knights that are fighting like Rodrigo.
Yes.
And
yes. The Rodrigo
yes.
story.
So there's this whole like, other story that's happening like within the bigger musical that's like Rodrigo and all of them, but it's the other actors that are playing them. We didn't do that because we were a youth theater, so we had to cast a bunch of roles.
Uh-huh.
But it's designed to just be 10 people.
Uh-huh.
And everyone else plays roles like
that's
that
cute.
Right. I love it. I think it's amazing. And even those songs are excellent.
Yeah.
I had the whole thing memorized even though they weren't my songs. Excellent. Anyways, what's your favorite part of the story?
Okay, my favorite part, I just love all the bits at the beginning where they're young and it's like the girls and Lori are being friends. But I especially love when they induct Lori into their like newspaper society.
There's a scene for that in the show. There's a whole song about inducting
it's
him.
It's so cute because in both of the movies, it's adorable too.
Yeah.
He like tumbles out and he's like, hello, girls.
Yeah.
And then
we got to do a song with like pretend swords.
Yes.
And it was a good time.
So cute.
Yeah.
And the way they're all like, oh, jolly good show. Because they all have like, they're pretending yeah. like British men.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so cute.
It's like the Pickwick.
The Pickwick Society.
Yeah, the Pickwick Society.
Named after the Pickwick Papers, the book. Okay. So
this is Charles Dickens
yes.
thing? Yeah, okay.
And then my other favorite is Christmas when Mr. March comes home.
Oh, I love Christmas.
That is the best part.
I,
everybody's happy. Everybody is sweet. I love it.
Genuinely don't know what my favorite part is. I loved this whole book so much and you needed every part that was in it. You
yeah.
know? I really liked the scene where Amy and Lori kind of met for the first time in Europe and she just straight
too,
up calls
yeah.
him out. I thought that was really funny. That's one of my favorite parts. But I also, I love when Mr. March comes home for Christmas. I love when Joe is in New York. I love when Mr. Bear shows up on the doorstep.
Oh, so yeah.
These are some of my favorite parts, but...
These are a few of my favorite parts.
Yeah. What about least favorite parts?
Did I get that?
Beth dies.
That's yeah, I mean, come on. Like, part, it's yeah. obvious.
What kind of monster are you?
Yeah, Beth dies. It's Beth terrible. Dies, it's so sad. Oh, my God. Okay, I also hate when Lori's being like a...
Oh, being a little turd.
Yeah.
And I don't usually use that word because I don't think it's ladylike. But I don't. I okay, think it's very unladylike. But it's true. He is. So it's funny. I'll say so many other curse words, but I don't like that one.
A turd.
I don't like any kind of reference to bathroom language. I don't like it.
You're one of those.
It's unclassy.
I kind of don't love it either, but right? I'm trying to get with it because people think you're... Sometimes people think
I'm what? Kendall?
No, not you. I'm saying people who don't like it, like me.
Uh-huh.
So I get the feeling that sometimes people are like, oh, she's no fun. She won't do bathroom humor.
People totally think that about me, no. And I don't care. I'm like, that's absolutely right. I won't play your damn games, and I don't want to hear your bathroom jokes.
Don't
I don't
tell
want to hear your toilet
your
humor.
Bathroom jokes. Enough. What was the other one? Favorite character,
least
Joe.
Favorite character, yeah.
I mean, Joe. It's got to be Joe, right?
Yeah, Joe. It's got to be Joe.
I don't know if I have a least.
They're all so good.
They're all pretty good. I guess Aunt March is annoying sometimes. But.
I didn't like some of Meg's friends earlier.
Oh, I don't like
annoying
them either.
And shallow.
Yes. Okay, I changed mine.
They were totally like such tiny characters, but they were
I know.
Just, like,
but see, that's the thing. Most of the characters are cool.
Yeah, it's true. Even Aunt March is like she's not a bad person. She's
no,
just
she's
kind
just
of
kind
obnoxious.
Of crotchety.
Yeah, she's just crotchety and like her priorities are not in order. But whatever.
Yeah, those they were not being nice to Meg.
Yeah.
Oh, what is it when Lori's like, because she's like, do you like the way I look, Lori? And he's like, no.
He's
and
like,
she's
no.
like, you're the rudest boy I ever saw. And then he comes over and he's like, Meg, he's like, I'm sorry. He's like, I don't like your dress, but I think you are lovely.
Yeah.
And it makes me
so
sad.
Sweet.
And then he's like, can you please dance with me?
That's so funny. I could see Ben saying something like that because he's so direct, but he's so sweet. Like when years ago when he was younger, when I was at like Thanksgiving or something, I spent with you guys. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I said something like about how some of the kids in my class, when I taught preschool, I was talking about some of the kids in my class were just not listening. And he said something like, well, do you think maybe it's because you're a bad teacher? And everyone was like, Ben. And he's like, what? Oh, no, I didn't mean it like... And I was like, you sweet, precious, perfect child.
He is sweet. He is a sweet baby.
He is, like, the sweetest kid. So
I mean,
just
he's
see
old
something.
Now. He doesn't say it like that anymore.
That's wild
but...
to me. That I cannot believe how tall he is every time I see him.
Yeah,
I'm
Ben's
like, okay,
like
well, you're taller
old.
Than me.
He's almost in high school.
I just, like, just remember him as a little kid.
I
and
know.
That's just, like the same, the Lori energy with... Meg being like, no, your dress is ugly. But I like you, though. You're great.
See, and isn't that so Joe, too?
It is. It
they
is
are
totally.
So similar
sometimes. I don't even think Joe would be that nice about it. She'd be like, you're stupid for wearing it.
Yeah,
so.
She would. Yeah, see, Lori likes to make up.
Yeah, he does. Like, Joe is like, I don't need to. So
Joe's like, I got a temper, and I will not apologize.
She's like, I won't unless it's Beth. And Beth, I'll give my everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Beth is always right. Favorite quotes?
Okay. There's a lot of good quotes. The whole book is wonderful to read.
Yeah, for real.
I just thought this one was cute. In chapter 5, Joe and Meg are talking, and Meg says something about, like, don't you want to sit down or something? And Joe says, I don't like to doze by the fire. I like adventures, and I'm going to find some.
So good. But the first quote that I picked is kind of, like, of the same adventurous energy, but I think the favorite quote I'm going to go with instead is, let us be elegant or die. I love that so much.
It's very funny.
I did say that when I was talking about us going on our skirt date.
Let us be elegant or die.
Just the level of drama in that is the same level of drama that Lori has when he's like,
I'll die. I will die. But yeah. That was kind of funny too because he was like, I guess I'll die. And he like left and Joe was literally like, nah, he's fine.
She was like, wow, okay.
She was like, he's dramatic, but he's not stupid.
Yeah, exactly. And then he like, because he like basically, he goes towards the river and at first you're like, is he going to go throw himself in the river? And no, he gets in his boat and he angrily throws
angrily
him
away. Paddles away. They're both like 20.
It's so funny. I can't.
She was just standing there like, Lori, come on. Hey, buddy.
No, I'm angrily rowing away.
He's like, Teddy?
Oh, God, it's an excellent scene. How many pinkies up would you give
five.
This book? Same, five. Five pinkies up.
Absolutely five.
This is a five pinkies up book.
This is the book.
This is the book.
I love it.
I'm sure my Mimi is also giving it five pinkies up right now. This yes. is the five pinkies up book.
It is lovely. Thank it's you, excellent. Louisa May.
Yeah. Thank you, Louisa May. Maybe mm-hmm. I can get hobby degree to Louisa May Dragon Slayer. Yes, maybe.
It's like pretty badass.
It's so badass. That's what I'm saying. See, all this he's saying no to, but I was like, if I said, hey, do you think maybe we should name our human daughter after our cat? He would be like, that's the best idea I've ever like, heard.
Absolutely, we should.
Like Flora the second. He yeah. would be like, there is no worthier namesake. I'm like, that's a cat. And not even a very smart one.
She's doing her best.
I know she is. And I love her, but man, the chaos in this cat. Don't scratch me. That's rude. She's like, you started it. I am pulling her tail right now.
Affectionately.
Affectionately. I don't abuse my animals.
Hi, baby. Oh, she bite.
It's because she's in a play mood right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Javi plays rougher with her too. Like they play like play wrestle and she loves it. So when he's home for a while, her play gets rougher. I'm like, I do not like rough play, Flora. Do not bite me. And she's like, it was a gentle bite. And I'm like, no bites. I'm just very stuck between Joe and Meg as a person. Sometimes I'm like, absolutely not with the toilet humor. And Javi will make a gross joke and I will literally go, absolutely not, sir.
Very Meg. Very Meg Mart.
It's true. And then I'm like, but Dragon Slayer, absolutely, for the middle name of our child.
That's one of the things I like about it though, is that all four of the sisters, like, they have their own personalities, mm-hmm. but they have fun together. They all do. Get in on Joe's plays.
They do.
They all will be like, oh, Amy, they're what are you working on?
They're not judgy of each other.
They're not
for
at
being
all.
Different.
They're
yeah.
very into each other's things. It's and true. They will, like, they all contribute to the newspaper that they do.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, it's not really Amy's thing. No. She always does it. Yeah. It's very cute.
Yeah, it's true.
They all have different, you know, they're people.
Yeah, they are.
Everyone has different aspects.
And they love each other so much.
Very sweet.
They're so good at being sisters.
They are.
Arguably better than I am at being sisters. Sorry, Maddie. I don't think I'm as good as the March sisters.
I mean, who could be? Yeah.
It's so true. Who could be? But,
well,
I will aspire. Anyways, right, anything done? Else we have to say about this book?
I'm good.
Okay.
I love it.
Well, next week, very exciting episode, we will be covering Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Harry Potter. And the Sorceress, the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, the Philosopher's Stone. My husband, the Javi, the one that I the talk hobby. About, the Javi Badger, who I talk about every episode multiple times, and you guys are like, shut up about your husband already. It's really annoying. He may be joining us. He may not, because he might lose the privilege. Too many toilet jokes, might lose it. Talks about Hermione too much, might lose the privilege. I haven't decided yet. This is not a joke. I'm not sure if he's going to show up yet. We'll see.
This is not a joke.
I might. I have rescinded the invitation tonight. I may extend the invitation again tomorrow. He may lose it before next week. It happens. So you may or may not get Javi.
But it's going to be great. We love Harry Potter.
We do.
We're going to do it.
It's going to be very exciting. So we'll see you guys next week. As always, follow us on social media. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at That Pretentious Book Club. If you guys have book recommendations for season 3, send them to us. You can DM us on Instagram or you can email us at contact@thatpretentiousbookclub.com. We are putting together our season 3 reading list right now. You guys, season 2 is almost over. We only have a couple more books. It's wild. So also our season 3 reading list is getting really full already. So if there's something that you want to see, you're going to have to tell us about it now. Although I think we've got some exciting stuff in the works as far as potentially some new minisodes go. So mm-hmm. if you're like, you know what? My week just doesn't have enough brilliant, witty, bookish humor in it. We hear you. We agree with you. And we are going to fill that need. Don't you worry. If you're also, on the other hand, like, you know what my life needs is new bookish merch of some kind. Also can answer your prayers there. You can go to thatpretentiousbookclub.com/merch. And right now we have some Christmas bookish merch. Why is speaking so hard for me right now? So many SH and CH
sounds. We've been doing it for like 2 hours, so.
That's why. It's too much. But we do have some really great Christmas bookish merch right now. We have Always Fa La Line for the villain, which is my...
We all are. Don't lie.
We all are. especially the Darkling. You guys should comment on one of those posts and tell me who's your villain you're falling for. I want to know.
I will judge you all, but it's fine.
I know. Kendall will judge us all. But it's all up there. Actually, I think our fall stuff is still up there, but it's going to come down by December. So if you want some fall stuff you want to grab for next year because it's limited edition, go ahead and grab it now. I don't think it's going to be there next year. And as always, we've got our other That Pretentious Book Club merch. So if, you know, you're thinking Christmas gifts for you and your book friends, not a bad idea. I think that's all we've got as far as updates go. So until next week, everybody. Keep your teacups full,
your pinkies high,
and your book club
pretentious.
Goodbye.